Welcome, everybody, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my co-host, Phil Mendoza. And tonight is a, or today, depending on when you're listening to this, is a very special episode because we have a few different friends coming on for an open little chat session, if you will, talking about, you know, hunting, train to hunt, training, just anything that's kind of on their minds. And for our first guest, we have the most famous elbow in hunting today. Yes, that's correct. You may have seen him on a few wilderness athlete advertisements, maybe even their website, or perhaps a train to hunt poster itself. We have, I know, calm down, everybody. I know you're getting excited. It is, in fact, Mr. Brock Akers. Welcome to the show.
What's up, Brock?
How we doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming on. So how much has that elbow made you so far? Because I see it now.
Honestly, it won me a Wilderness Athlete gift card 2 years ago. And since then, it has just blown out of proportion, just blown out of control. I can't – I mean, it is daily – no, I'm just kidding.
I'm modeling elbows now.
Yeah, actually, I've been contacted for a model. No, and it was actually the Zero to Hero program or project, Josh Lynch actually made that the train to hunt banner. And man, he sent me an email and had all the flyers for every train to hunt event. And I'm like, holy shit, that's a lot of that picture right there.
So for those of you out there who've seen the train to hunt flyer, you may not recognize, you know, Brock, if you're watching the video now, but I'm sure if he shows you the elbow, you'll recognize
it. Yeah. Every time I see it, I just look at my hairy ass armpit and like, oh man, I should have. they should have photoshopped that or something.
So go ahead, Phil.
Brock, you guys tearing it up. You and Tyler, two for two, right?
Yeah. Tyler Boschma and I, man, we decided to team up this year for a little team action for the train to hunt regionals. And it's actually been going awesome, been pretty fun. We went down to Arizona and competed. Phil, you were there. Will, you were there.
Yeah.
It was good, man. We just clicked and we get along real well and we're about the same fitness level wise. I think Tyler's a little better when it comes to shooting. We can talk about that, but we just get along well and we compete well, and man, it's been going. We're starting to plan some hunts together now because we said, man, we're this train to hunt stuff's fun. Let's go kill some animals and do it for real. So
where are you guys getting married?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, my girlfriend Kaylee, she always puts me shit about it. She's like, "Oh, you got to go have your bro moments with Tyler."
he's moved up near you now, right?
Yeah. So actually, Kaylee and I went down and helped him and Callie move in a couple weeks ago. They moved from New Mexico to Sweet Home, Oregon, which is about 4.5 hours, 5 hours from me. So we went down there and stayed with them and Amanda and Jesse Wise and had a good weekend and just kind of hung out. And, you know, all people that I met via train to hunt. So it's awesome. It's just another testimonial to that thing, you know.
It's quality people, right, man?
Yeah, it's all like-minded individuals, man. Even Callie and Kaylee, you know, Tyler's wife and my girlfriend, they've been, you know, all BFFs or whatever you want to call it. So it's good. It's good.
So I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
You have competed in 3 to 4 different states as far as regionals goes, for whether it was last year or this year, right? Regionals, nationals. What's your favorite venue so far, and what would you say? So two part question: what's your favorite place to go for a train to hunt event, and what do you feel has been the most difficult event at any one of the challenges?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've done Arizona, Idaho, Oregon, and I was the director up here in Washington. So, but yeah, I would say
Colorado.
Man, oh yeah, Colorado. Yeah, mm-hmm. Colorado. Man, the toughest one. Arizona, just because of the heat, man. The terrain, not so much, but that heat, it gets you, especially if you're up here in Washington where it's 55 and raining 9 months a year. Then you go down there and it's 100 degrees. It kicks your ass. Terrain-wise, probably Colorado just with the elevation being that high. But I think my favorite one is Arizona just because it's – man, hot weather in April. Who can complain about going down there and doing that?
And, you know, I guess kicking off the year, I got to go to, like I said, Arizona this year too. And all the buildup and getting ready for it and starting off in April to go, you know, start out those competitions. I agree. That was a really fun event for me this year because start off the season early, get to see some of the same crowd that we talk about all the time. And I enjoyed Arizona too, man. Will and I were just talking on the last podcast that, you know, about maybe trying to get out there next year again.
I think Arizona is my number one place I would like to go qualify at for a few reasons. One, the terrain. You know, I was there helping out this year and I didn't get to compete there. Two would be the elevation. And three, and probably the biggest reason, is Matt Amet will be running it next year. And you guys know how Matt is. He's a good time. He's a good time to be around. So I'm kind of looking forward to go down there and just hang out with him, see his family, see some people I met in Arizona down there again, and it's a fun event, especially if it's kicking off the year. And I know there's a chance you guys will be going down there. That's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be in Arizona every year just because my grandparents live about 10 minutes from the event, and it's good to go down there and see them. You know, they're snowbirds, so I don't get to see them that often. They come up here for a few months during the summer, but other than that, it's just, you know, I don't get to see them that often. So I like to go down there and spend a couple of days with them, and I mean, stay with them. I borrow their truck, and they love coming and watching me compete. And so, okay, it's hard to say no. Plane tickets aren't that expensive, so it's worth it for the family.
No, that's it, man. So what's your predictions for you've got to see, like you said, you got to compete in Arizona. You competed this last weekend. You got to run Washington. Did Tyler compete in one event aside from – so no. He didn't make it to one of the Idaho ones then?
No. Okay. He's just done the two team events with him and I.
Okay, so you got to do the other Idaho event then without him solo.
Correct.
So seeing that, I mean, you know, I've seen that the other teams and some of them, and I've seen you. I got to watch you guys compete. I think it's gonna be pretty tough to. You guys are gonna be a pretty tough crowd to compete with at nationals. What are your thoughts? There have been some other teams out there that are kind of sleepers, or what are you thinking?
You know, as far as the team events, Ryan and Mario from Arizona, they're pretty good. They gave us a run for their money this weekend, but they're not going to nationals. So honestly, the only other team we were counting on, Will and Matt, but it sounds like Matt or Will decided to go get married or some shit, so I don't know, man.
Will doesn't have any interest in having sex after the next couple years.
You know, it's not the sex, it's the meals I really miss. Melanie is a phenomenal cook. Not only that, and maybe I shouldn't throw this out there, but she is the butcher of the family. The last probably three deer I got, she was the one who actually cut it all up and bagged it all. So I'm not about to, would you let a woman like that go?
I don't know if I wouldn't tell everybody that over a podcast.
Your woman's going to get hit on a lot.
No kidding. But as far as other team goes, I'm not sure what was out in Colorado. Hopefully some teams from there, show up. Other than that, I'm hoping for maybe a surprise team or two. But yeah, it's kind of slim pickings. I haven't heard of a lot of teams that are going to nationals, I think is the big thing. We'll see.
It was a bummer because honestly, I can't afford to make the trip. Unfortunately, plane ticket was like $500 and so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$100 a bag and like this and the other thing. And I'm just like, yeah, I really don't want to start out my marriage in debt that much. it was a tough call. And Phil and I, on the episode we just recorded, it's like thing I'll miss the most. Like I'd rather go there and place dead last and get to see everybody than go there, win it, and not get to see any of you guys.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was a tough call for me too, with planning to not go. Cause yeah, I've got a 25-day season, but at the same time, I can't take off of work 25 days to go hunt sheep. So, having to pick my battles and wanting to stay married myself, it was a tough call. But like we were talking, Will and I were talking, we'll come back and play again next year, and go from there. But anyway, I mean, what's your thoughts for next year, bro? I mean, I know you're still this year, but you and Tyler, you guys meshing pretty good. You know, Will and I both think the team event is where it's at here moving forward. You guys put any thought into moving along with this or?
We haven't really talked about next year, but I mean, I'd love to do it again. We're like I said, we get along great and it's fun, man. The team event is so much more fun than the individuals. Even going to do an individual as a Silver Mountain in Idaho, like it was a great time and it was fun going head to head, but it's just the team event was just to me was more fun. So I'm hoping that Tyler wants to do teams again next year and hopefully we can hit a few more and I know there's some talks of Train to Hunt expanding, and Kent and I have been talking about, which states I'm going to direct next year, and hopefully I can still get a few competitions in myself before it's get too busy with directing. So we'll see.
No, man, that's it, and I agree with just what you touched on before. When I did Colorado, I competed with my cousin. Jesse, right. who we'll have on here in a little bit, but to me it was no pressure, man. And I think he was a little bit nervous just because he felt he had to, meet some expectations. And I was like, man, just relax and let's have a good time,
Yeah.
And once he calmed down, it was, we were all smiles all weekend and had a great time.
That is probably the biggest bummer of not going to nationals is I had a blast competing as a team. And I actually, the reason I wanted to go team was I wasn't really as gung-ho. Well, I wasn't as gung-ho as I was last year at all as far as competing because I'd almost felt like I'd gotten too serious to where I was starting to suck the fun out of it for myself. And when I saw Tyler and Brock competing in Arizona together and they were just having the time of their lives, I was like, here's an idea. Teams. And Brock, you took second at Nationals last year. You know what it's like competing by yourself. You have to be in your own world the whole time almost.
Yeah.
You're talking to people, but you're not really. You know what I mean? You're going through the motions.
Yeah, there was, there was at one point in Nationals on Sunday before the challenge course, like a good 2 hours before Phil and I went, I just put my headphones on and I just go off by myself and just kind of get in your own little zone, and after it was over and how big of a relief, like it was that it was over. I was like thinking to myself, that was way too stressful for something to just be fun. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So I thought I'd just give the team event a try and I'm glad I did, man. It's been awesome. And, Speaking of Will and Matt doing teams, I don't know, Phil, did he tell you how he almost died coming across the finish line for the meat pack?
No, we never see. There's so many things we don't get to catch up on. I forget about.
So I'm sure Will's version is different than mine. Here, Will comes across the finish line and instantly hits his knees.
Whoa, you gotta start back a little bit. You can't just go straight to the finish line. Give it a little. But, come on, this is storytelling 101. You gotta build up from the beginning.
They're wearing women's yoga pants to start.
First of all, please, you want me to start the story for you? You can finish it. So you heard on the podcast. I opened my big mouth about wearing tights in an event, right? I was going to let it go and never wear tights. However, Matt clamped on to the idea and was like, dude, we're wearing tights. And I was like, well, Matt, you got the quads for it and so do I, so let's rock it. So we went ahead, bought some virus compression tights, and wore them to the event. They were not ladies' yoga pants, as Brock would have you believe. Now go ahead, Brock, you're free to tell the story.
So Will comes across the finish line and hits his knees and right to his chest. I'm thinking he's doing a victory burpee or something.
Yeah, no, you gotta explain it. There's no build up here. There's no build up.
The story is Will being like near death coming from the meat pack.
I'm gonna tell the story now. Sorry, Brock, you're losing your privileges.
All right.
So those guys were very good. They were kind of
Travis Wages.
They were very relaxed guys, and they were very well-rounded competitors. And so we're in Northern Idaho, right? And they were evenly matched teams because both and Matt was better. Matt was the stronger partner on our team, and I think it was Travis was the stronger partner on their team. And so we go out for the meat pack, and I went off from this meat pack. Like, you have never seen anyone take off from this meat pack. It's a downhill start, and if there's one way I know how to run and run fast, it's going down a hill. So I took off from this downhill run. Like, you would – I mean, right, Brock? I was going off this downhill run. Like, you would have thought I was going to win the Kentucky Derby on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Passing horses left and right. I was easily the first person to the 100-yard mark by, like, multiple feet. So I decided at that point, though, shit, I better slow down or I'm going to be walking before long. We get down. It was a down-and-back course. And it was downhill out, slow, steady incline back with a hard incline at the end. We get to the halfway point, and I'm in last. After that hard finish, hard start, I'm a little gassed. I'm in last. He's up ahead. He gets about a 50 to 75-yard lead on me before the turn. No. This Matt and the Travis, the stronger partner from their team, they're gone.
Okay.
So it's based, and as you know, with teams, it's the last second partner finishes time. The time. Yep. So I'm about 50 to 75 yards behind their second guy.
Is Kellen's his name?
Yeah, Kellen. So I'm coming up, and we make this turn, and I'm starting to think, as the first partner from the third team's coming up behind me, and I'm thinking, shit, I better make some moves or everyone's going to beat me. So I kind of get in behind him and start working my way up, just trying to go faster, a little bit faster, a little bit faster. We make that turn for that steep point, and I give it everything I've got. I make a move like you've never seen a move made in train to hunt history till this day. I made the move to end all moves, and I give it everything I have to a point to where not only do I make up that distance I had lost, but I pass him, and I start sprinting with everything I have left in my body. If it wasn't for these tights, my legs probably would have fell apart from the inside, right? They're holding my legs together at this point. I get up to this little, like, it was a hard, how deep of an incline would you say that last incline up to the finish was? It was short. It was a short incline, but it was steep.
It was steep, yeah.
And so we hit this last incline, and my legs start to buckle. Like, they're telling me they're not going to go any further. So they go to buckle, and I press down on my knees with my hands and say, the fuck you will buckle on me. And I push myself with my knees across the line, winning it for our team. and then, I promptly faceplant, no catching myself, collapse across the finish line.
So it was a straight up blow your wad and don't touch it afterwards moment then.
Yeah. So here he is laying face down across the finish line. I'm thinking he's doing a burpee, right? I'm like laughing. And then I'm like, oh, shit, maybe he needs some help. And we're like, go over to him and kind of kick him to make sure he's still alive. And we're like, Will, you all right, man? And he's just gibberish, nothing. His sentences, words, nothing. He was just out of it. So we kind of roll him off to the side so other people can finish. And, man, it was a good solid hour before he could put a sentence together and talk in English, really.
It's a deep – It's deep.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I had to sit next to Brock while he was just waiting for his heat to go. If he went to talk to me, I would just shake my head like, no, there's no talking going on.
No.
Yeah, I went through the pain cave, through the pain tunnel. I don't know the location of the spot I was in, but let me tell you, it was a deep, deep spot.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of injuries, man, this weekend in Oregon, we had a guy's arrow blow up in his hand on the challenge course and cut that sucker open pretty good, and there was some carbon in his hand. It was bad. It was bad. Tyler and I administered first aid to the guy, and it was in the last – or second to last heat of the day, so we were – Well, I grabbed the first aid kit, and I was looking for anybody military that I knew would have some medical experience, because we just got a call over the walkie-talkie. It was actually in my girlfriend's station. We just get a call over the walkie-talkie that says, we got a bleeder on target 3. We need a first aid kit bad. And I'm like, oh, shit. So anyway, yeah, that guy, I felt bad for him.
A bleeder. Where was I?
Oh, yeah, it was right there, just splinter wide open. And
for those of you listening to the audio, that's the meat below your thumb Brock's pointing to.
Yep, sorry about that. But, I was impressed, though. The guy was more pissed off that he couldn't finish his heat than he was he had carbon stuck in his hand.
But that's the kind of people you're attracting and trained to hunt.
Yep, All
right, exactly. we gotta get on to some other guests, but I'm going to ask you these two questions before you go, Brock. One. Favorite thing about training to hunt
is motivation to stay in shape. If I didn't have something to train for, I'd probably be just your average hunter that just kind of didn't go far from the road. So definitely the motivation aspect of it, followed closely by the community.
Oh, well, shit, you answered both questions in one answer, so never mind. Second question. It was going to be, do you think it kept you in shape for the hunting season? Apparently, yes, it did. So, hey, Brock, I know you're the face of or the elbow of wilderness athlete, but if you ever get a chance, Mountain Ops, if you enter the code NBH20 at checkout, you will get 20% off your Mountain Ops order. Not saying you will, but if you did, you could get that, because they are the advertiser for this podcast.
Yep, business is business, right?
Yes, it is. and they are great guys with some great products.
Yep. But oh, absolutely.
Anyways, thank you, Brock, very much for coming on the show. Enjoy. I know you're going to head out there, hit the targets hard, hit the workouts hard, because it's early and still light out where you are. So.
Yep.
Cheers and good luck to you. Who we got up next on deck, Phil?
Hey, Brock, take it easy, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
So next up, we're going to be getting with Mr. Luke the Body Body.
You pronounced it wrong. It's Bodie.
Huh?
It's Bodie. Luke Bodie.
No, it's Luke Body.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, what do you want to make a bet?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll bet you a championship bow hunting hat that it's Bodie.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's see if Mr. Luke answers the phone. Luke, where are you, Luke?
If he doesn't, I got people. I got other people where he's hot.
Hello?
Hey, Luke.
Hello?
You with me, Luke?
Hello? Yeah, I am.
Can
you hear me?
We got you. Luke, do you have a video feed on your Skype?
I had before.
Luke, update your Skype and get back to us.
What?
Hey, real quick, Luke, how do you pronounce your last name?
Body.
No.
Boom.
Hold on.
Boom.
Body. I didn't say Luke knew how to pronounce his last name correct either. Luke, I've been waiting to tell you this. You have been mispronouncing your name for a really fucking long time. How time somebody corrected you.
It's Luke, can you click the video button on your Skype? Can you click that?
You know what? Whenever you got the group one, I don't have the video option all of a sudden. I got speaker.
Luke, do you need to update your Skype?
I don't have.
I can add more people. That's about it.
Okay, let's roll with it, right? Yeah, I mean, we got a few questions for
Luke. The audio, people who are going to see video will just see a lovely blue and white face for where you are. Hey,
but they can still see us, Will.
Yeah, that's all they need to see. Let's be honest. Yeah. We're easy, hey, guys.
Hey, Luke, can
got your shirts on?
Yeah. You know what? This is why I love Luke, because he's a fan. Luke's a fan and he listens. I know when I publish these podcasts, I will at least have one listener. It'll be Luke.
Yeah, or, even though you pronounce my name wrong all the time, I'm just waiting for that one time to get it right.
I got you, Luke. I got you, man.
It's Luke the Body Bodie. Everybody knows.
Hey, Luke. So, you got? Are you going to Casper this weekend?
I'm not.
Okay.
What happened? I thought you guys were gonna go teams.
Well, you know, there were talks of the Body Trail team, and then you know, we listened to your last podcast with that you guys were out, and not Phil, but I'm saying Will, your team fell apart. So like, well, we're going back to solo.
Well, bro,
it was just in the works. I mean, it was.
Let me turn you on a little something. We just had Brock Akers on this podcast, and he's a little bummed. He's a little bummed that the teams aren't deeper. And I said, you know, there was talks of a Luke the Body Bodie team getting together with Gabe, the I don't know how to find the course Krell going on. And I think the only thing you guys lack to make a complete gold medal podium finish is each other. You know, with your sense of directions, his speed.
Yeah, we're set.
Yeah. I don't think you guys going team's a bad idea at all in Nationals. That's all
I mean,
I'm
saying. We went 1-2 in the meat pack in Colorado, and you know, I think we'd be pretty good together, but maybe next year. It's not happening this year.
Hey man, you know, if you guys consider it, you can get rainbow jerseys and be true partners.
Yeah, just like Aaron and Phil were last weekend.
I bet Will can probably get us some tights or something. We're good to go.
Bro, I will get you. I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna call up Virus and be like, listen, Virus, you guys don't know this, but your tights are becoming quite big in the hunting community.
And that's the second tight blast we've had in the last 5 minutes, Luke. So right on cue, man. Right on cue. Right. Hey, Luke. So real quick, man. We want to touch a little bit about Train to Hunt. And you know, you came in. You had a podium finish this year in Colorado where you qualified. Weren't able to make it to Arizona with a little mishap right before you know on your way to the airport, but. You've qualified. You were right in the mix within seconds of finishing first. What's your mindset here in the next couple of weeks as Nationals, you know, comes upon us?
Well, to be honest, I was a little burned out right after Colorado, and maybe it was just because I'd been, you know, working out for quite a while leading up to that, and kind of slacked off for maybe a couple of weeks. But the last 2 weeks, been getting after it. You know, me, Gabe, Matt, when I say Matt, I mean Josh, we're going to get together this weekend and do some workouts. Phil, I think you've been copied on those texts. So we're going to get together down there and practice and try to keep the title here in Colorado.
Yeah, there you go, man. I'm pulling for you guys. You know, it's I was excited to watch you guys compete in Colorado. I mean, I followed you guys around half the freaking course in the challenge course just because, you know, I wanted to be there with you guys. But I was happy to compete with my cousin as a team. But, yeah, definitely, you know, get things dialed in. Get, you know, get some fine-tuning going on because we'd love to keep that gold cam, you know, represented here in Colorado.
Yeah, for sure. Josh and Gabe and I are kind of talking about that. So hopefully we can make that work. Plus, I think Lance is going to be back. So we got.
I've heard that. Do you guys follow Lance on Instagram?
Yeah.
He is freaking big.
Yeah, he's looking pretty lean.
Wait, Phil, you're on Instagram?
No, but he posts
on Facebook. Or, yeah.
I got. Yeah. Wait, Luke, are you on Instagram?
No.
Get on Instagram.
Facebook's enough.
You only need Instagram.
I'm walking a fine line of staying married to not staying married because of my third job. So I gotta keep my social media to a controlled minimum. But Luke, so you guys are gonna do a little, you know, workout test drive, if you will, this weekend. Good time for it, 2 weeks before nationals. You know, I'm not trying to give out any secrets here, but I'm going to give some advice to my good friends here in Colorado. Get an ass kicking workout in this weekend, man. Grind it out for another, you know, 3 to 5 days and start dialing back because, yeah. You know, you know how it is up here. And we've been working out off and on together since December or so with the Aaron and those guys. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't think I'll be able to make it down there with you guys, but believe me, I'm going to be expecting some text message results here in a couple weeks when you guys are competing as things happen.
Yeah, we, you know, a few of us have been trying to get whoever's going to one of the events each week to let us know what's going on. So Rock's been texting us every once in a while with what's going on and who to look for. Speaking of that, I was thinking Kenton should kind of put out some power rankings before finals with who he thinks the top five would be in each category. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
If Kenton doesn't, I know a podcast. That, no, CJ. Oh,
I think it's going to be the Natural Born Hunters power rankings.
There you go.
Mr. Luke. Luke.
All right.
Body.
Luke the Body Bodie, you guys are fucking it up.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool to see, man. I mean, you've got, you know, like Spartan races and like some of the other tournament archery stuff that you accumulate points based on how you finish, how many people you beat in those events or that kind of stuff. That's not going to be hard to figure out, and I think that's something that Will and I will go ahead and put on our shoulders for next season to implement. Because I don't think that'd be very hard to do. What do you think, Will?
Oh, kidding me? I love judging shit and putting my opinion where it doesn't matter. This is what I was made to do. Blow hot air. And Luke, I'm going to tell you this, and I won't be telling this to any other guests we have on the podcast. Out of going to nationals, the thing I will miss the most is seeing you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's another rainbow moment.
I will say, out of everybody going there, Luke is that one guy who, when everybody's sitting around, just seems like he's not even in a fucking competition. He's chatting. He's keeping things light, positive. He had a sandwich bar practically going at the Fort Collins one where I first met him. Luke's bringing it. Ah, who are you? It's like, come on over. It's what's going on. It's like, I will deeply miss that. There. What's that?
I had no pressure there. As soon as I got there, and I first people I met was you and Santino because I had to shoot with you guys. I got to shoot with you guys, and then you guys were talking about how long you've been working out and stuff for it, and I'm like, things aren't looking good for me. I've been working out for about 2 weeks, so let's see how this goes.
You've come a long way, though, my son.
Well, I mean, I didn't start from scratch, but I mean, also nothing train to hunt specific, so.
So you feeling good going into nationals?
I don't know. I felt like I was more confident going into the qualifier, but I mean, my fitness hasn't really gone down, and I can push it here. You know, just you know, I got a few more days basically to push hard and then start relaxing. So I'm feeling good. I mean, Phil, we got to get my bow. You know, I don't. Will, you probably know. I broke my bow a couple of days ago.
I saw something about that, but no picture. Yeah. I mean.
I thought I'd be able to see this big scar on my hand from getting whipped, but apparently I can't get any photo feed here, so video feed.
Yeah, that string should be here tomorrow so we can get that buttoned up.
You know, yeah. Luke, my biggest advice to you, and it's not going to be as razzle-dazzle as Phil's advice of deload, is take your time on that fucking challenge course, will you? Make those shots count.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way.
No, go balls to the wall. Smoke the course. No, I'm just kidding.
Let him ride.
Like 5 inches slow.
All right, Luke, we got to.
I'm excited about it. And, okay, yeah.
Sorry, no, we got to. Hey,
we're pulling
get some other guests.
Oh, I said, wait, hold up, Will. Let me give me a second here.
You have Luke, your moment. Luke. You have your moment, Luke. Luke. The Bodie.
Luke, you can't see me, but I'm like, I'm looking at you in your eyes right now, okay?
Locked on. Phil is locked on with you.
A little bit
more. So for those of you,
I'm not saying I don't support anybody that does the event, but I got a little more love for you and Gabe going into this event.
All better, relieved.
Sorry everyone, we had a little technical difficulty there. My shitty connection cut out again, so you.
Yeah, you missed that. Got cut out with my pep talk for Luke.
You missed that heartfelt pep talk that Phil gave to Luke, which is probably better because really it leaves a mystery to it, a little bit of the unknown. If any of you know anything about the Iceman Mendoza, you know he's a mysterious dude, so you're just going to have to guess what he said.
So our next guest on here is my cousin, my partner for this the Colorado event, Jesse Marquez, also known as JJ. Represent Anchor CrossFit, and
is there any other connection to you and him other than that, Phil?
Man, we grew up together. JJ and I, we're the same age. We're a couple months apart, so we grew up together.
Wait, so you're not really cousins?
We are cousins.
Why did you say that first? That would be the thing I would open with. We're cousins.
Yeah,
we're cousins.
That's what I said. It's my cousin.
He did.
I don't think I
Will,
heard that. Oh, shit.
Too much whiskey on the brain, Will. Not too bad. Much whiskey. But,
go to the tape.
Yeah.
Go to the tape.
Edit. So,
it was, we talked with Brock a little bit because Brock's doing teams. And we just talked about how I really enjoyed doing the teams. It was a lot less pressure than the individual. But being that I'm not going to be at Nationals, and one of the reasons that we teamed up for Colorado is because your partner at the time had an injury.
Yep.
So tell us where are you at now with competing at Nationals? What have you done as far as finding a teammate, and what's the game plan?
So I reached out to Ken. I just let him know that I found out that Kyle, the guy that I was going to team with, did end up having to have surgery on his knee, so he's definitely out for the season for the rest of the year. So I asked Ken if he just knew of anybody that might be looking to partner up, and he recommended Evan, who was – they were on the team that was in second place behind us day one, but then his partner – messed up his bicep or something the night before, so he couldn't. They couldn't continue as a team day two. Yeah, so he told me to get in touch with him. So I reached out to Evan. Me and Evan talked about it, and so we're going to partner up for Nationals.
Cool, man. That's good to hear. Evan, he ran the course. You know, a trooper. He was there to play. He paid his money to play, and even though his teammate went out, he still ran the course in our heat. And I tell you what, man, he was right there with the group and he did well. So,
and I know they shot really well the day before. I know they were you know, not too far behind us in the shooting. So there are some pretty good shooters there. So
yeah, no, for sure. And I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to see you guys because it's I don't know. Brock was saying he doesn't know how many other teams are going to travel. So I definitely think that Colorado is going to have the stronger representation as far as from the team side of things. But yeah, man, I mean, so have you done anything different over the last couple of weeks getting ready for Nationals, or are you just kind of same? You know, you work out every day anyway, but anything different you've done?
So I have, and I think Will should listen up here because I think Will needs to implement this. Lots of donuts, lots of ice cream, lots of beer. Just stop working out completely. Will and Matt, take that advice.
Now I know who's not listening to the podcast. Now I know.
Will's not going to be there either.
I will not be at Nationals.
Oh, I didn't catch that, actually. I did not catch that.
No, but I'm glad you're competing. We'll have a very competitive team because Brock was saying he was a little disappointed there wasn't any super competitive teams, and he was also disappointed that I would not be competing at Nationals. But knowing you and this Evan, we'll be competing. I'm sure we'll give him something else to worry about.
Hey man, you know, and I'm going to throw this out there too. There was a couple teams that finished right behind us, you know, in second and third, aside from the Travis and Evan team, that were really competitive too. You know, those guys, I think that one of the other teams, JJ and I were looking at the shooting results, and Kenton made a mistake. on the scoring on our target. But, hey, we still won. We're not going to, you know, stress about that too much. But there's a couple other teams that were really, really close as far as scoring on the challenge course, the meat pack. I mean, there was a couple teams that were right there within 30 seconds of us. So.
Right.
There's some competitive teams. I mean, we had – how many teams was there, Kyle? Was there 10 teams?
There was 10 teams, yeah.
Yeah, 20 guys. That's the biggest team class of any of the events.
Well, Colorado was a juggernaut this year, right? I mean,
yeah.
Out of everybody, all the growing of the different events. I mean, Arizona had a good growth rate, but Colorado was like sterile.
Yeah, we almost doubled too.
Yeah.
But doubled from a big number.
What's that?
But doubled from an already large number.
Yeah, last year we had the highest participation, and then again this year, like, so almost doubling it. But so, you know, but aside from the donuts and the cigarettes and all that, you know, I let you borrow one of my packs, the Kefaro pack to run the meat pack with, and
right.
you felt like that was a good thing and ended up picking up a pack recently, I know. So have you been putting that to work?
I did, and I have, yep, been making, you know, minor tweaks here and there on that, but definitely a lot more pleasant to run with. And I used to kind of dread my meat pack days and kind of put them off and postpone them and whatnot. Now I'll do two or three meat pack runs, workouts a week now, just to kind of get the pack adjusted perfectly to where I need it to be. But yeah, man, it is probably the best money spent besides my bow so far for hunting.
What are you shooting for a bow?
I've got a Hoy Charger.
There you go. Yes, Jesse, sir. I got another question. What hat's that you got on tonight? That's a nice looking hat.
Championship bow hunting, baby.
What is championship bow hunting?
Oh, it's just this one guy that he kind of knows his stuff. He, you know, puts together some podcasts and videos, some gear reviews, what have you.
Well, hey, man, we're just trying to share the love of the bow hunting athlete movement. And you know, by the time this podcast airs, we'll have given away our elk hunt, but there's still going to be a whitetail hunt left to give away. So. You know, we do give away lots of stuff too. There,
Will Bradley better win one of these hunts.
Shameless
plug. I didn't sign up for nothing.
Shameless.
And the other one should be Jesse, so it should be JJ.
There you go. So, speaking of other giveaways, JJ, you recently started trying some mountain op stuff, right?
I did. Yeah. Yep. I've been using the Yeti, and then I just started using the Enduro and the Blaze. I'm really enjoying it. I'm liking it.
So, as a real-life user, Would you, you know, would you think a 20% promo code out to the listeners is a good deal?
Absolutely. Yep.
So, Will, what is that code again, Will?
It's Will Bradley is sexy as hell. And if you enter that in to the coupon code, you will
they might charge you double.
They might charge you double.
I'm just kidding. It is NBH20. If you enter NBH20 into the code, I don't even know what those code things are called. What's that code box called?
Your promo code box.
Enter NBH20 into the promo code box at checkout with your next Mountain Ops order, and you will receive 20% off.
That's it.
Oh, right. Shit, he's got the shirt on. Fucking JJ, you selfless self-promoter. I love it. I will also say this. I have worked out. I have actually gone. I, for those of you who don't know, I am a big fan of CrossFit and a CrossFitter myself. As well as I follow the Train to Hunt workouts, I like to mix it up, and I do a few actually Spartan programmed workouts every now and again. But I have been to Anchor CrossFit, and I worked out there with JJ as a coach, met his partner Tony, and who's an absolute animal. And I will tell you this, if you get the chance to stop in and you're looking for a place to work out in the Denver metropolitan area, stop on into Anchor CrossFit because they're great guys. It's a good time. You can pick up some sweet ass swag. Unfortunately, they were sold out of the t-shirts when I was there. I did get a hat, which I will say to JJ's, to speak to JJ's level as a committed hunter, they were camo with blaze orange on them.
Right.
So, you know,
that's right.
He keeps it. He's for real. He's not, you know, not fucking around.
That's right. Thank you for the commercial there. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, brother. Melanie loves her. For those of you who don't know, I am about to get married in a couple days here, and my fiance Melanie has nicer arms than I do, and she was a huge fan of Jesse, huge fan of his coaching style at Anchor CrossFit. So if you get a chance, definitely check them out. They're good dudes, good place, good fun.
So thank you. Come on out.
Right on, man. We appreciate you coming on, and we wish you luck at Nationals with the Train to Hunt, and again, everything with the gym. We're going to be collaborating again down the line here with workouts at your gym and my archery shop, getting people ready for Train to Hunt and their season. So check JJ out on Facebook, Anchor CrossFit, and you know anything else you want to throw out there.
No, man, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Good luck on your hunt. Will, congratulations. And tell Melanie I said the same.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Yeah. We'll talk to you later on.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, Will. Who else you got on?
All right. Up next, we have a gentleman that I was fortunate enough to meet when I competed in Northern Idaho with Matt, and his name is Andy Fuller. And one thing I really, really enjoyed about Andy was he was Canadian, and he traveled all the way from like somewhere, I don't know how far they drove, but I know he and his fiance drove a long ass way to come to the event. And to me, knowing how far I traveled, you know, I connect with those people who do that, who are willing to travel the distance, to make it happen, to go to where they need to be a part of the tribe that is the Train to Hunt tribe, and, you know, put it out there. So that's, you know, if I'm working on calling him right now, as long as that works out, that is who we have on next. Which should work. All you listening right now, this is the greatness of computers in the age we live on. It's not as easy as it sounds to just add people to a Skype call that you're simply trying to record. I don't know. If not, we're going to have to go to Gabe, who I'm sure all of you have heard of from now. But I think it's going. Is anything going on in your end, Phil?
As far as...
Do you see any... I see a box with a rotating picture. Is that my picture? Do I have shitty signal? I have terrible signal.
No. I see you okay.
You see me good?
Yeah. You want me to get a hold of Gabe?
I guess so.
Let me see if we can get him on. Calling Mr. Gabe. The podcast is not dead yet. We're calling Mr. Gabe. Man, we're wrong.
We got a lot of great dead air. Actually,
zeros here. Gabe.
You know what, Phil? Why don't you tell us a little bit of what you got going on right now?
As far as... The life of
Phil Mendoza. I mean, I know from talking to you, we talk almost every day. As far as the podcast goes, we're being afforded some pretty cool opportunities with people getting hold of us, wanting to do a few projects with us. But as far as the main project that you have going on, it is your store, you know.
Yes.
And you're trying to get that up and running.
Yeah. We've talked about it before. I've got a pro shop here in Denver, and we've earned our stripes and really kind of put ourselves at the forefront of archery here as far as a pro shop goes in the Denver metro area, and I'm not afraid to say that as far as being cocky or anything like that. I think we've earned that, and we've been closed for about 6.5 weeks now, going on 7 weeks, because of a transition for a new building we're putting up. The building is looking awesome. The building is about done, but I'm hung up on a fire line, of which the sprinkler line, once we get that done, then we can wrap everything up and open the shop. But I tell you what, man, I'm stressed. I'm not going to lie. This is prime time for a pro shop in the West to be booming, and we're not open. So, I've been a little stressed, to say the least. Actually, Gabe, who we're trying to get on, Gabe has been helping
me
out.
Can you hear me, Phil?
Hey, Gabe.
Oh, shit, we got Gabe.
How you doing, man?
Hey, so I was just talking about you. Gabe, in addition to being a freaking animal with all things pack on his back or not, Gabe's been helping me out with my pro shop as far as getting that whole water line issue ironed out. You got to run, Will?
No, I got to. So I'll let you talk to Gabe for a minute. I'll be back.
So Gabe, where are you at right now? Can you hear me? Gabe.
I'm in Phoenix today. I can hear you. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm in Phoenix today. It was 111 earlier, so I'm missing Denver.
Yeah, I can bet, man. That sounds brutal. Gabe, you've competed in two events this year for Train to Hunt. you finished on the you should have been on the podium in Arizona, but of a little mistake on the scoring. We didn't actually get a picture of you up on the podium, but you've technically finished third, right? You still with me, Gabe?
I hear you now. Sorry about that. It's cutting out for some reason.
Okay, so I was just saying you competed in a couple events this year, Train to Hunt, and you technically finished third in Arizona. Am I right? I think we're having some technical issues with Gabe here.
Yeah, hey, sorry, cut out again, but I can't.
Hey Gabe, let me try to click you off and call you back. Let's see if we can't get a better connection.
Sounds good, buddy.
I'm gonna hang up and call you right back.
Yeah, it's cutting out about every 30 seconds.
Okay. So, Will, you with me now, Will? Yeah, I had to hang up on Gabe.
Oh no!
trying to call him back. It was a little bit sketchy.
All right, you there, Phil?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, it was cutting out there. Sorry about that. Hopefully, it's not on my end, but
that's okay.
Go ahead.
So, for the third time for our listeners here, Gabe, you've competed in a couple events this year for Train to Hunt and finished third in Arizona. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was a little deal with the scoring there, but when it was all said and done, Kenton gave me a medal in Colorado in the second one I competed in. So,
in addition to the mishap. I mean, new scoring system. You know, it happens. There's a learning curve, and you also had a. I'm not trying to throw fuel on the fire, but you had a little mishap where you probably went an extra quarter to half a mile on the meat pack in Arizona.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't get frustrated with the scoring because I think the new scoring system is pretty slick. It kind of allows you to make up for some weaknesses, but I just kept my head down and yeah, I had actually had the run mapped. It was about an extra half a mile that I did with the meat pack. So
whoa,
a little frustration
whoa,
there.
Well, hold on. I'm going to stop you right there, Gabe, because I wouldn't necessarily say it was an extra half a mile. I would say you were totally lost.
Oh, yeah. No,
you were good.
Yeah.
May have actually gone an extra half a mile, but if people had yelled your name and spotted you out there in the cacti, you weren't coming back.
I was going to run until I dropped, to say the least. And it was long, and it didn't help for time. It was interesting, to say the least. So that, you know, Phil, it did add some fuel to the fire to keep going, which I think led into day two, and it made it a good event all in all. So it was an up-and-down weekend, to say the least.
Yeah, I know, but it was fun, man. I mean, wouldn't you say kicking the year off in April with an event like that kind of sets the tone? You know, I mean, we've been working out since December, right? I mean, we've been hitting the Red Rocks and the other hills up here off and on as we can all, you know, our schedules permit. But we've been working out with packs on our backs most of the – I mean, it really hasn't been much off season, right?
It was time to do something like an event. I mean, we spent a lot of time, you mentioned it, with Aaron and the group out at Red Rocks and Green Mountain and other places. So, you know, I wasn't planning on going to Arizona. Luke kind of talked me into it. Once he signed up, he couldn't make it, unfortunately, when it was all said and done. It kind of gave me the motivation, but it was more because I didn't think I could do another couple months waiting for, you know, Colorado in June. So it was to kind of, I guess, kind of knock the dust off. And it was a good event. It was good to travel for it, and it was a good time all around. So.
You're probably one of my favorite competitors to watch. Gabe.
I got to ask why that is, Will.
Because you have so much potential and something always goes wrong. It's like, I'm rooting for, and you're so positive. You know what I mean? It like, I really want you to do well, and I don't know if it's this episode recording or because this is going to be released next week. And the one we just recorded, I think I was talking to Phil about how, you know, once you're able to get everything put together, you're going to be easily a top podium finisher, if not, you know, a gold medal holder. But it just always seems that there's something that happens, you know, that comes up that just – doesn't quite swing your way, but it's exciting.
You know, that's the beauty of the full event, though. It all factors in when it's all said and done. So you got to put it all together. So give credit to guys like Phil that seem to do it again and again, and that consistency is it's pretty hard to maintain. So but that's what keeps us going, man. Is just to keep kind of driving through, and I guess that's what keeps us out there with the pack on our back and kind of looking at guys like Phil and others that can really dialed in on the shooting. So it's been a learning experience from probably the last 12 months from when I started it, going from not knowing anything about Train to Hunt to still just kind of trying to learn how to improve. So it's pretty cool, man.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, the thing about, you know, watching Phil and everything, because I think everybody does kind of watch Phil because, you know, maybe new guys coming in don't know, but Phil's a pro-level ASA shooter, which – if you know anything about target archery or, you know, 3D archery, that kind of says quite a bit. But also on top of that is the fact that Phil also, I think we just lost our connection with him. Gabe, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, you're still there? All right, you guys look, you're just so pensive, you look paused. All right, sorry, I never know
where you're going to take this.
So I have such a crappy internet connection, I can't tell if Phil's moved in 5 minutes. All right, yeah, do that if you could a little bit for me. Anyways, as I always say, for those of us who've been around, we know Phil is a pro-level ASA shooter. He owns the premier archery shop in the Denver metropolitan area, which is a very large area that's only getting bigger, with a really large, dedicated hunter-athlete following there. On top of that, Phil is a freaking machine physically, and he is a very cool, calm, collective customer when it comes to competing, and confident as well, which really, you know, wraps it all up nicely when you're looking for that ultimate kind of, you know, who's going to be the you know, I guess compared to CrossFit, the Rich Froning of the sport, most people would think Phil. But then again, Rich Froning's not going to say, sorry, CrossFit, I can't make it to the games this year, I got a hunting trip. Whereas everybody at Train Hunt's like, yeah, you have
wow,
to.
Wow, Will, you that was like, build me up here on a platform and smack me in the face.
No, but that's the difference between us and CrossFit, is where CrossFit would be like, the hell you are, we're pulling the plug on you. Train to Hunt would be like, Gabe, I know Gabe, if you asked him, would be like, yeah, I'll come help you pack it out. You know, any of the athletes would be like, yeah, we'll go with you. We'll go with you if you need us, you know, whatever you need. And the other thing is, I have yet to talk to a competitor that's like, yeah, I think Phil's going to get taken out. I think Phil's going down, which, I mean, if I was Phil, I'd feel pretty good about that, that people have that kind of respect right off the bat for a competition that is so new, that crowned a champion after 2 years of being existence. Like, Ken really came on to something, that he was able to draw in the most well-rounded competitors he could already.
Yeah, you know, and well, I appreciate the kind words, but, you know, the, like you alluded to, guys like Gabe and Luke and Josh Bednors and Braden and some of these other guys, you know, as far as a physical level, Gabe was, I mean, when we go work out, I'm not the first guy up the mountain. You know, guys like Gabe and Aaron's still in that. Aaron's almost 40, right? I'm not trying to throw him under the bus, but that dude is an animal. And getting to work out together, we all feed off each other. And, you know, to be able to, you know, share what I'm going to, you know, with my hunt coming up, share it with some of the guys that are, like I said, I'd said it before in the last podcast, they're as good or probably better athletes than I am. You know, so to get to share that community and have friends like that, it says a lot. And, you know, being able to compete in these events, that's just icing on the cake. So, you know, that being said, I mean, Gabe, what?
Oh, hell, you, Phil, I'm a better athlete than you are. Yeah. I just can't beat you in a train to hunt, right?
Well, man.
It's just the elevation. Phil. That's all it is. It's just
the elevation. You may be right, man, but, you know, here's the nuts and bolts of it. Me and you, Will, are not going to Nationals, and Gabe is. Oh. And Gabe is one of the guys in from my backyard here that I'm pulling for. You know, we had Luke on a few minutes ago and Brock and Jesse, but, you know, Gabe and Luke, you know, and I said it earlier too, these guys, I'm pulling for a little bit more, just because whenever we have a workout, whenever we have something at my shop or up in the mountain with the Mountain Warrior stuff, these are the guys that are there, you know, supporting the local crowd and growing this movement here locally. And Gabe, man, I'm pulling for you guys. I'm pulling for you but tell us, you know, tell some of the people out here, you've competed in two, you've seen where you lie, you know, through those two events. Have you done anything different as far as preparation, as far as shooting or working out or anything different to get ready for Nationals?
Yeah, a little bit, I think, actually. I have to laugh. I think a year ago I told Luke and my wife, I think I was set on gear. I think since I've started hanging out with you guys, I've replaced everything. right, do you name it. I don't know if there's anything left. But Most recently I've, you know, taken some tips from you, taken some tips from Aaron. I'm shooting a new bow, which is, it really wasn't driven from a result of improving my shooting. I was thinking about it going into this year, but I kind of committed to that and really have just tried to spend more time shooting. Cause I got to be honest, that's been my weakness so far, and have spent most of my time in the last month or so just kind of hitting the range. So that's where I've been trying to improve. And then I think on one of the previous podcasts, Phil, you had made a comment of, you know, don't forget to stay in shape, or something went on Nationals last year about, you know, might've been the meat pack or something. So I've been trying to keep up with all that as well. It's actually easier to work out and, you know, with a pack or to run or some of that than it is to shoot, just living kind of in the city. But I've been trying to spend as much as I can, time as I can with the bow and getting used to it. So.
Yeah, no. And that's it, man. Like I said, if you can just improve your score, you know, 4, 6, 8 points, man, it's going to throw a wrench in a lot of guys' anticipation of what they think is going to happen, because you won the meat pack in Colorado. And you know, you're right there time wise with all the other guys on the challenge course. It was, you know, you probably wish you would have had a couple more tens and it would have been a different game.
Yeah, you know, Will, you mentioned it, I think, as far as something always going wrong. But I think when you shoot yourself in a hole, you can't leave anything in the bag. And you know, I see that a lot of times on day two. You're trying to get every second, and you're huffing and puffing. And it's I definitely need to position a little better. But we talk about it a lot that, the way that group is and the guys you're competing against, you can go out and, you know, you can drop to the bottom of the pack pretty fast with one missed shot, or it's a lot of competitive guys. So that's what makes.
I think he was about to say that's what makes it so much fun before he cut out.
Are you still with us, Gabe?
I don't think he's with us anymore.
Oh, Gabe. Yeah, dropped the call.
Call dropped. Well, hopefully we can get Gabe back on. But you know what? It was a interesting idea Luke mentioned earlier about doing some sort of prelim and rankings and stuff before going into Nationals, which, you know, some people may like, some people may really dislike based on where they're ranked. But I'm going to tell you right now, I already know where I'm going to rank Gabe.
Where's Gabe rank?
Where am I going to put Gabe? Because it might be different than you. I don't know if I want to tell you because I don't want to throw off your ranking, Gabe. I'll write it down. I'm going to write it down right now. I got a post in front of me, right? And I'm going to write it down. And then when you tell me, I will tell you and show it to the camera so people know you had no influence and I had no influence on you. How's that sound?
Here's the deal. All we can rank is off based off people we've seen of events we've been to, right?
Yeah. I know there's one more event. But this
not only that, but there's Oregon just happened. Didn't get to watch that. The Boise shoot. Didn't get to watch that. Right. Gabe, you with us again?
I am. I'm not sure what's happening there, guys. But
that's all right,
that's
Gabe.
Okay.
You keep
so
going,
we're talking here. Luke brought up an interesting topic, right, about doing some power rankings. And I went ahead and adopted that whole concept and said that the Natural Born Hunter is going to probably for the next year. I mean, for this year, it'd be kind of tough. But going into the next year.
We're doing it this year.
It would be good to develop a point system. So if you win an event, you get X amount of points. If you beat X amount of people, you're going to get so many more points. So if you win an event with 100 people, you're going to get more points than if you win an event with 50 people, right? So all that to create a power ranking system. So that way, hey, you know, it's a little fun. Maybe it creates some trash talking, you know, maybe a little more motivation. But Will and I were just talking about where you might lie in that ranking system if we were to do it now, and I'm just explaining to Will. All we can base it on is off the events that either of us have been to, because those are the only events we have experience with. Because I told him Oregon, I wasn't in Oregon, I wasn't in Washington, wasn't in Boise. Will was in northern Idaho. But from the Colorado and Arizona event – I would have a hard time taking Gabe out of the top three. That's where I'll leave mine.
Oh, you can leave it right there, but I'm going to show you. So that's your official statement, what, Phil?
I would put Gabe in the top three.
You put him in the top three? Are you ready to see this? I'll show it to the camera, and I'll let you read it if you can to the people in the audience what I wrote
this
about Gabe.
Is, Gabe is a wild card, the one to watch.
That's right. Gabe, so Gabe, to me, and if I'm looking at this as like an NFL sportscaster or any pro team, he might have just made the playoffs, right? That's no offense to you, Gabe. Just due to some injuries, due to, you know, if you're looking at, like, again, I'm going to compare this to NFL. If you're looking at, you know, maybe somebody got busted for drugs or drunk driving, they had to sit out a few games, right? That's to me who Gabe is. Gabe is like the Oakland Raiders, right? But he could be the Oakland Raiders of the 80s, where all of a sudden it's like he could show up to Nationals and boom, welcome to the Thunderdome. It's Gabe's world now. Or he could show up as the Oakland Raiders of present, and again, something could happen where it doesn't go quite the way you would have expected it. So that's the way I see it. Either Gabe's going first or Gabe's going like fifth. No, again, no offense to you, Gabe. This is just me coming in as a sports commentator saying that's kind of what I see going on.
This is my prediction. I'm going to throw my prediction. I heard Will's explanation, and it sounded like shit, Will. Sorry. Sorry. This is where I'm at. Okay. You're obviously going to have a harder shooting portion, right? We know that from last year's national.
Yeah.
Will's still laughing, almost falling out of his chair. So shooting's going to be harder. If you're on par or a little bit better than you did at either the other two events, then we know where you're at, right? So I think you're going to be a little bit better. Now, I'm 90% positive the meat pack's going to be longer. The meat pack's going to be harder. In two events that I've watched, Gabe should have won both of those meat packs. Okay, so I'm going to say that I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here, and it's not very much of a limb here, because I think Gabe's going to win the meat pack again at Nationals, regardless who's there. And the only wild card here is Lance, right?
Phil,
Lance?
you just talked your way around in a circle, though. Winning one event doesn't win the whole thing.
And let me finish. Because of the meat pack being longer, because of the new scoring format, I think that Gabe's going to be better off winning the meat pack, and he's going to be better off finishing on a higher score on the challenge course because of the scoring system. He's going to be easily on the podium
Here's the problem.
That's my prediction.
Here's the problem, though.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Have you heard the rumors about
And I got to admit before, but there is that Lance factor that we've seen him compete before, so it'll be interesting to see what he's going to do for sure.
I agree. He's a wild card because he hasn't competed yet this year, and I'm not sure if he gets an automatic in from being in the military and getting in from last year competing. But he's the wild card.
You guys are missing something.
I think Gabe's a contender any way you look at it.
I'm going to help you out here because I think you're missing something. There's a little rumor going around that I don't know if you've heard of.
Okay. Sprinkle some salt on me.
And this is just a rumor. I cannot confirm nor deny this, but it's a rumor I've heard that you will be starting the meat pack at 3 a.m. and you will get a map to the start. So you will have to figure out how to get there. And the one thing I know about Gabe, based on previous events, is Gabe finished his meat pack somewhere in Southern California.
Let me tell you something about what I think of that. I'm sorry, Gabe. I don't mean to jump in.
No, go ahead, Phil. Go ahead. I
think that rumor of, and this is no disrespect to Kenton, I think that rumor, if you want to start a meat pack at 3 o'clock in the morning, great, man, more power to you. If you want to make your meat pack 2 to 4 miles, man, bonus, right? I'm all for it. As far as the navigation skills, Will, how far do you have to navigate to your tree stand, my friend?
Geez, any given day, it's all pretty far out there as far as, I'd say, 100 yards or so.
Okay, so
But that's carrying a tree stand, so that's a long
obsession. No, Gabe, give me a break.
What I'm saying is navigation important? It's very important in the West. How important is navigation to the East? Less important, right?
Mississippi, probably not a lot of people give a shit.
Not very. Okay, so if this event grows wings, and let's say that a national event ends up in, I don't know, Will, New York, right?
Hopefully.
Okay, so how many guys in New York are going to be very competent in navigation? No disrespect to you New Yorkers, but I don't.
Well, I would assume a good amount, but not from hunting. Not from hunting, right? I would assume not a good amount, not from hunting, but because in New York per se, if they're outdoorsmen, they should be very well versed in navigating around the Adirondacks. If they are outdoorsmen, if well not, said. Then you know what, they're fucked. But here's my thing. Here's why I wrote Gabe the wild card, the one to watch, which is because I do have all the confidence in the world that Gabe could be a national champion. He is, in my opinion, a contender to take home the gold. However, it's a tough sport. You know, this is really coming into its own sport now. You know, and we all know 1-0 on one target, 1-5 on one target can take you from being a contender to 10th.
Yeah, no,
pretty
I agree.
Quickly.
So really, I can say quickly. This about anyone. I'm kind of like a fortune teller here, saying you will have a good day. Not telling you why, but I do give Gabe all the respect due with saying I will. He's the one to watch. Luke's the one I will miss the most hanging out with at Nationals, but Gabe is the person I would miss most competing with.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time with Luke in the woods hunting.
I wouldn't miss it that much yourself.
I don't know. I just get, I don't know about the guy you'll miss the most hanging out with, but
what do you think about that, Gabe? I mean, if Kenton throws a twist in the game where now you got to find, let's say, your said starting point, or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe he's just going to say, you got to start from here, here's your coordinates, you got to do a check-in, and then come back. you know, what do you think about something like that?
I think it'd be cool, but I think it'd be hard to implement, truthfully.
How
do you control it and all that? I mean, Phil, you've been around Aaron enough. He's talked about doing a couple of long-range team events, carry 40 pounds 4 miles, pick up 40 more and carry it back. That kind of seems more like a mountaineering kind of trekking adventure. I think it'd be hard in a timed event with spectators and people that aren't familiar with the country. I think it'd be fun, but I think it'd be hard to do in a one-day or a short meatpack event.
I agree.
I will throw this out there as an East Coaster, and I've talked to – actually, I haven't talked to many people about this, but as an East Coast hunter, like, I think it's getting pretty much to where it's solid, well-rounded. Maybe add a little bit more strength to the challenge course. Other than that, you know what? It's pretty good, man. I think
it's
finding the most well-rounded the way it is.
So here's my opinion, okay? I agree that the event is really good right now. I think that the meat pack could be longer. Could it be more strength involved? Sure. Could the challenge course add?
No, I'm saying meat strength involved in the challenge course, not the meat pack.
So in that event, can you tweak it a little bit? Sure. The logistics of running an event like that, if you're going to start maxing out at 125 to 150 people, it's not going to be long that you till you have 125 to 150 people at Nationals as this continues to grow. That's going to be very difficult controlling 125 to 150 people on a mountain of which maybe it's 10% that don't have any experience with navigation, right? And the argument can be, well, you need to learn. Well, yes, and you know, I don't know. To me, I think it's a underrated skill to have in the woods. I think that where is it going to apply to most people's really hunting situations? More out west, and if this event's going to go out east or expand out east, then you may not You may lose some participation if people are afraid of the whole navigation thing.
You know, that's very, you know, true. There's definitely a good point to that. I like the event a lot the way it's running now. I'm a big fan of the new scoring system. The only thing I would maybe change is let's take nationals to a low altitude spot. But again, you know what? I think it's for running as long as it has, being what it is, it really hits a lot of keynotes that it needs to.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe, what do you think, man? You're like I said, you're about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks out, roughly. Is that right? Gabe, mm-hmm. you still 2.5 weeks out?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm there.
What's your mindset with what you've got left? I mean, obviously, to me at this point, the preparation is already been done. There's not a lot you can do between now and nationals to change anything. But you know, considering the shooting, you've implemented you know, some more shooting time in your setup. Is there anything different mindset? You're kind of a veteran, right? You've done 3 or 4 of these events now. So is there something that you think, you know, you're about getting your mind right with where you're at with this stuff?
You know, I think you hit on it. There's only so much you can do in the last couple of weeks. What's the strength and the conditioning is all pretty much to that point. So it's more just maintaining it through the next 2 weeks, you know, just kind of keeping up a good pace. I'll still do a couple of weighted packs and do a little run and a few things and then just spend some time shooting, just building up that confidence. So there's nothing different than what's been going on other than trying not to push it too much here in the next couple of weeks. And just, I think we're going to do a little bit of a workout this weekend. I think Josh is going to make it out and Luke and hopefully a couple others. So just kind of working out together and having fun knowing that we're a couple of weeks out. So.
Yeah, man, that's it. And like I said, I told Luke, and I wish you guys all the best, man. I wish you guys luck. I'm gonna be watching my phone for updates. You know, once I get up high enough, I get service up there, and I'm gonna be keeping an eye on that stuff. So I'm expecting you guys to send me some texts with the skinny. But you know, we appreciate you taking some time and coming on the podcast. Like I said, we obviously, you know, we enjoy competing in these events. We enjoy the crowd, but it's almost the big show for Train to Hunt, and we're excited to see what Gabe has to bring here in a couple weeks.
I'm calling it now, the wild card, the one to watch.
That's it.
It's gonna be a good time, Bill. I mean, it might change all when you send us a text that you you need help packing an animal out about Saturday afternoon, and you guys don't show up Sunday, so you never know. We'll miss you guys for sure.
You know what? And that is exactly what I've said all along. That's the kind of people you meet at these competitions.
Yeah. No. And I'm humbled to call all you guys my friends, because like I said, it's, you know, we love being there and competing, but at the end of the day, we would all, at this point in the game, we would all rather be on the mountain, you know, somewhere. So I don't know. I'm sad I can't be there, or I won't be there, but I'm still pulling for you guys, and especially the Colorado guys, because like I said, I've said it before, I think that Colorado is really at the forefront. You know, the guys out there in Oregon, they're animals too, and they get after it, but so far, I still think that you know, we've got some of the cream of the crop out here in Colorado, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out.
It's gonna be fun trying to keep it in Colorado and have a few bragging rights. So, it's been fun, guys.
Right on, Gabe. Hey, man, I appreciate all you're doing for me on the side too. By the way, like I said, I kind of was throwing it out there. Gabe's helping out a bunch with getting my building finished as far as permitting and paperwork. It's been a nightmare, but Gabe's helped out a ton, so I appreciate that. And Will, you got anything else for Gabe?
No, I mean, it's been very exciting to watch his finishes. It was exciting to watch him in Arizona. You know, I honestly, if I could even go to Train to Hunt Nationals, not even to compete, but to just report on it, I would love to, just to see, you know, how these guys do and where Gabe finishes. It'd be awesome. But, you know, unfortunately, I will not be making it. And, man, I just wish you the best of luck, Gabe. You're a great guy, and there's a bunch of great guys out there in Colorado, like Phil said, who I'm fortunate to call my friends. And I really wish you the best of luck. You know, I know you got the skills. Just put them to work.
Sounds good, man.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, Gabe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Take it easy.
Hello.
Mr. Will.
What's happening? So for all of you listening, I just had to kind of switch things around because it would not let me add Phil to this call. But what I'm going to try to do is work it around. So I just called Andy. And now I'm going to try to add Phil to this side of it, which should be pretty interesting. Hopefully he can answer. I'm not 100% sure this is going to work. If not, Andy, I may have to drop you for a second. Yeah, it looks like I might have to drop you for a second. Just kind of look out for the. All right, and our next guest in this barrage of just high caliber trained to hunt athletes is Andy Fuller, who is a newer name to the trained to hunt community. I mentioned it before when we were trying to get him on and couldn't. But one of the things I told you I really enjoyed about Andy is he was another guy who was not afraid to travel to the event to be where he needed to be and to be part of the community he wanted to be a part of to make things happen. And Andy, why don't you tell everybody where you're from so I don't mess it up?
All right. I'm from just south of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A little town called Turner Valley, right in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
Welcome, Andy. This is Phil.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Wait, the Rocky Mountains going to Canada?
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not.
Come on, Will.
I'm just kidding. We don't pay attention to anything out west. Andy. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, man, excited to see that we have participants from Canada that the Train to Hunt is reaching guys like you out there. What? How did you hear about the events, and what brought you to the event?
Well, it all started, I crawled out from underneath that rock I was living under, and I started following Cam Haynes and thought he was pretty cool, and then it just went from there, got on the old Google and started looking stuff up, and up came this Train to Hunt. And I said to my fiance, I said, look at this. I got to do this. And then finally, I think it was like a year and a half later, traveled down to northern Idaho, and there I was.
Awesome.
How far of a trip is that for you?
8 hours, but we took our time coming down. But, yeah, it was roughly 8 hours.
So it's – That's just, to me, that's like the best thing about these events and this kind of growing community of guys who feel not necessarily that you need to be fit to hunt, but that you want to be fitter to improve your hunting.
Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that. I went for a hike with a good buddy of mine. We've done some elk hunting and stuff couple of years ago, but anyway, we went out looking for some new sheep country a couple of weeks ago. Now this dude is 6'5". Will, you've met me. I'm 5'7". And for the first time, I was able to not only keep up with him, but I was able to outwalk him. So I mean, this training and train to hunt, it's awesome. I love it.
And what kind of training have you been doing?
I did something I said I'd never do. I went and bought a gym membership in the little town nearby here and, just lifting weights. And then what I needed to do more of was more cardio and more legs. I mean, I was, humbled in that department in Idaho, but definitely needed to do more cardio. I'm looking into, I found a CrossFit gym that's not too far away. I'm looking into, getting a membership there so I can come back down and get some redemption on the hill.
You know, that's not a bad idea at all. I would certainly recommend, you know, of course, there's a lot of different training programs out there. The Train to Hunt program is certainly a good one. And however, if you want to learn hands-on training about lifting and moving body, I would recommend a good CrossFit gym to learn how to move and kind of function and, you know, the mechanics of everything. And also, it's also a good point if you want to kind of recruit people to work out with you and do these crazy workouts. Listen, we're going to take my bow and we're going to run with a pack. Like, you're going to find more people quickly, I think, that way than you would in maybe like a big box kind of gym.
Right. That's something that I was actually going to ask you guys. You're both seem like fairly entrepreneurial type individuals. How would I go about getting people up here excited or educated and excited about Train to Hunt? So maybe one day we can have you guys come up.
Man, I would say, I'll give you a few facts, and one of which I know is, I know the percentage of success on the field last year of Train to Hunt athletes who took animals was over 90%, which is a pretty unheard of number considering the amount of ground covered by the Train to Hunt athletes and the number of wild game that was then gone after. And usually the only time, say, somebody maybe didn't tag out was of choice. You know, they may have said, I'm just not coming in contact with quite the mature animal I wanted. But other than that, you know, as you know, being fit makes not only your everyday life easier, but everything you do in your hunting process easier, whether it's scouting or hanging tree stands or putting in a food plot. It doesn't matter if you're an Eastern hunter, a Western hunter, or a hunter across the world, being fit is going to help you do what you need to do. And I think that's the first thing you kind of try to do. And the second thing I would say is find a community, find a base. And in my CrossFit box recently, I don't know if it's because of the podcast or because of Nationals or things picking up television-wise, people have started coming up and asking me about Train to Hunt. They're like, I'm a hunter. I shot a bow a little bit. What is Train to Hunt? And so that's the first thing I would do is, you know, you made the step, you made the leap and came down and found the community of people you feel like you belong with in Idaho. Now find that community back in your hometown and then kind of, you know, like a virus, spread the seed from there. And I think CrossFit boxes are the best place to infect with that disease.
Right. Perfect. All right.
Is there any local archery ranges or clubs in your area there, Andy?
The biggest center, we'd have to go into Calgary. There is one pro shop that I frequent, and with that being said, you jarred my brain, and that would probably be a good place to start, is hang out there a little more and just talk about it and make it be known.
That's it. It's awareness, and it's like you said, it's people like yourselves that if you enjoy it, and there's probably many other like-minded individuals like you that would also enjoy it. So it's about making them aware of the events. You know, if there's a club that's there, you know, I would have whatever president or board members, you know, give them some information on it and make them aware of it, because, you know, you don't have to do a full-blown Train to Hunt event, but maybe it's just that the Bowhunter 3D course, Ken actually will provide that information for a local club to host their own Train to Hunt style Bowhunter 3D course, and without the meat pack and the challenge course, but, you know, just to get a taste out there, to get a sample. And that'd probably be a good place to start, with an archery shop, like Will said, a box, a CrossFit gym. You know, if there's other hunters that are working out at that CrossFit gym, well, it's easy to supplement a workout, to supplement some shooting with a workout. So, I mean, explore all avenues, man. I mean, check it out and see which one sticks. You know, you throw a whole bunch of things against the wall and see which one sticks. But nonetheless, just you as far as you go, keep plugging away. You know, I mean, it's like, if you're continuing to prepare for these events and you've got some people that are willing to work out with you, even if it's just once a week or once a month, maybe they'll be ready to come down and make the drive with you next year.
Right. Yeah.
And here's my other thing. If you could find one person to do the workout with you, even if they're not an archer or a bow hunter, it makes the workouts a lot more enjoyable, whether it's the meat pack or, you know, you're shooting your bow during the workout outside per se. And they're more likely to be like, you know what? If for $300-$400 I can get a bow and kind of go in and share this experience and ride down with you, it's just not a bad thing. And sometimes, you know, it's, if you build it, they will come, and you might start with one person and one person might lead to two, but you just kind of got to go in there and just have faith and believe in it.
Right. Yeah.
My question to you is after coming down, you know, and after looking at this, because, you know, I know Phil wasn't there, but we were shooting with Andy, Matt, and I, and the other team there of guys, and he was shooting lights out. I mean, he had cleaned the course about maybe 15 targets in. He had cleaned it. And I don't know if nerves got you. I don't know what. But he had a bit of a drop-off. But, man, it was looking like Matt and I were sitting there like, shit, there's a good chance Andy might just clean this course. And after shooting the course, after doing the meat pack, after doing the challenge course, coming on in with, you know, you would talk to me, I've been looking at this, I've been researching it online, which is a feeling I know very well because that's similar to how I started. Because I also have to travel to these events. There's nothing like it around here. Do you feel like it lived up to your expectations?
Absolutely. It was an experience all in its own. It was, you know, I'd always heard about the brotherhood and stuff like that. And, yeah, everybody, I mean, you and Matt and even the other guys that were in our group that we were shooting the 3D course with, just very welcoming individuals. Kenton is a gem. Like, he's a gentleman. Like, he's you talk to him, and it's like he's always known you, you know, and just a really good group of guys. And I always enjoy getting out and seeing new country, and, you know, I got to do that. And yeah, it was great, and I got the bug, and I want to do it again.
If you were to give advice to people in your situation where, you know, they may not live close by and they may have to travel, what would your advice be to them getting into this sport?
Archery or in general, or
train to hunt, I'd say.
I would, well, legs and lungs. That would be my biggest bit of advice, because that was my biggest weakness, was my, you know, my legs and lungs. Legs and lungs, and in preparation for that, I would say nutrition. Like, I'm learning a whole lot about nutrition and overall healthiness that I didn't even know existed, really. And different ways of eating, and stuff like that. But as far as the fitness, yeah, definitely legs and lungs.
Awesome, brother. Thank you for coming on. I know Phil's got to get his kids to bed soon. We got one more guy we got to bring on. So thank you for coming on, Andy. We really appreciate it. And good luck on the upcoming hunting season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Nice meeting you, Phil.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Andy. Nice to meet you as well.
Talk to you later.
All right, so coming on up, we have a guest who, if you listen to the Championship Bow Hunting podcast, you're probably very familiar with, or familiar with at this point. And if you are into FITA, I'm sure you are familiar with, and even more importantly that, if you've ever heard of Feather Vision, then I guarantee you've heard of him. Our next guest up on the podcast tonight is Chuck Cooley. Chuck, are you with us?
There?
Yeah, we're here.
Hold on one sec. Let me put my headset on there.
There we go.
All right, I'm in.
How's it going, Chuck?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, my man. You had a long night of practice tonight. How's that going?
Oh, it was awesome. I was up there with Coach Neal and just trying to get some new arrows built for Pennsylvania State Championship this weekend and then Outdoor Nationals next weekend.
Wait. Hold on. You were with Gary all night?
Yeah.
That son of a bitch. For those of you who don't know, Chuck and I have the same archery coach. Great coach, Gary Neal, G's Archery, if you ever get a chance and you're in the northeastern, you know, upstate New York area, hit him up. I called that son of a bitch earlier today and said, hey, Gary, you want to come on the podcast tonight and be a guest? And you know what he said? No, no, I can't. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Well, now we know why.
Yeah, I guess we know who's the more important student at this point.
Yeah, I pulled rank for sure.
I'll give it to you, Chuck. You've probably been with him longer than I have, so that's all right.
Hey. Yeah, Gary and I have known each other since 1998.
That's a while. I was still in high school at that point.
I was just out of high school myself. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, Chuck, we've had a number of guests on the podcast so far tonight that we've been kind of focusing on Train to Hunt, the Train to Hunt events, which is a, you know, if I'm sure you're familiar with it a little bit from talking with Will, just that bow hunting athlete, you know, everything encompassing shooting, fitness. And, you know, we felt it was important to bring you on because you yourself have taken a step to get yourself healthier and live a healthier lifestyle, you know, with your shooting and everything else. And tell us a little bit about that journey and what steps you've taken just as far as your physical, you know, your change in your physical well-being.
Well, it's you know, it's kind of one of those long stories. You know, I'm 47 years old, and you know, it's just like everything else. You know, you used to be young and fit and easy to do everything, and then working in an office gains on you, and living in an Italian household with a wife that cooks amazing food from scratch, and the next thing you know, you're 225 pounds. You know, and it was killing me. You know, I didn't have any energy and didn't have any drive, and hell, I didn't want to shoot my bow. I knew I was unhealthy, but it was so hard to get out of that rut. And, you know, I joined Team Hoyt this year and I really wanted to make a statement. You know, I was like, look, I've earned this position. I need to get out there and do better. You know, I got a daughter who's in college and I'm coming up on 50 and I'm thinking, gee, if I don't do something, I'm not going to make 70. So I ran into the guys from Mountain Ops in Vegas at the tournament, and they were so cool about it. They weren't high pressure or anything like that. They just mentioned what they had and what they did. And I came home and thought about it and I gave it a shot, and you know, it was incredible. I lost a ton of weight without doing anything. I haven't been to a gym and I've lost almost 30 pounds. My cholesterol numbers are dropping like rocks, and I have energy and I feel more focused and able to do things. It's just really amazing. It's really cool. I'm so glad that they're involved with what you guys are trying to do. You know, they're promoting it. I don't know if they're a sponsor or anything yet, but I see ads from them saying, you know, look, sign up for this. You know, you guys got a couple of events coming up, I saw, and they're getting on board with it, and I think it's fantastic. Personally, I kind of want to set a goal next year to try to hit one of them if they're on the East Coast, but it means I'm going to have to hit the gym and get some shape, because I shot with Will here a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, damn, that dude's fit.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, as bad as we shot at that shoot, I think we both qualified for Worlds.
Yeah, dude, I did. It turned out I won.
Did you really?
Yeah, there was one person in my class that sucked. It was me.
Hey, all you can do is shoot against your competition, Chuck, and, you know, if you're the only one, man, you got to take that medal and display it proudly.
Well, I was looking at it this way. I was willing to go and get beat, and nobody was willing to come beat me, so I won.
Well,
here's the other thing. I mean, for those of you who may not be so into the different archery tournament and events, Chuck is a FITA shooter, which is – I'm correct on that, Chuck. You're more the FITA guy.
Yeah, I'm a dot shooter, you know, flat ground, big round targets, yellow centers. I know
the distance. Exactly.
It doesn't move.
And so he came to IBO, which is unknown distances and the different animal targets like you would see in Train to Hunt. And, you know, he had learned, I think, maybe a week before from our coach of how, you know, some systems to judge distance. So he's out there. And you know what, Chuck? You didn't do bad.
Yeah, I had I think I would have done better if the course was shorter. But apparently that club is known for basically putting everything at 45 to 50 yards, and they put them in black holes, and if you're not experienced with that, it's awful.
Yeah.
And it was raining.
Cyber shot.
Oh, my God, it was so hard for me. And I felt good. I zipped two targets. Both of them were glance off, so it wasn't that bad. But everything the hardest part for me was convincing myself that everything was that far away. Remember when we went out, you know, we were all kind of hitting low because I think all of us were like, there's no way it's 45 yards. Well, guess what? It is.
Remember Gary's great advice?
Yeah, he's like, look, when you go out for the second half, if it looks more than 40 and less than 50, put it on 43 or 45 and let her rip. And we all did that, and we all killed the second
half. And that's a good coach.
I swear we went like six or eight targets in a row, and none of us even touched our sight. We all pretended we were looking and judging, and all of us went, whatever. Dude, it's out there. It was crazy. It was so much fun, though, man. We had a friggin' blast. It really was.
I've never had that much fun at a 3D shoot in my life. You know, not counting, of course, Train to Hunt events, but as strict archery only event, I've never had as much fun as I had shooting with you guys that day.
Yeah, it was hard to call it a competition because we were all just like tromping through the mud and flinging arrows. It was really cool.
I can't even tell the jokes I heard that day on this podcast, and this podcast is uncensored.
I still can't eat a bologna sandwich.
I'm not going into that. But what I will say is Chuck is a hell of a fun guy to shoot with. And here's what one thing I want to talk to you about, Chuck, is you say you did nothing. However, I saw some of the shakes you were making, and they looked to be a little more intricate than just a scoop of protein in a shaker bottle.
I did some, I was doing fruit and yogurt, you know, just to kind of change them up a little bit. So, you know, I'd throw a scoop in, I'd throw a banana, I'd throw some raspberries, I'd throw a whole carton of yogurt in there, and, you know, just to make a meal out of it, I guess. And, man, it was awesome.
So were you eating breakfast before, or were you skipping breakfast before?
No, I'm a get up, go to work, grab a cup of coffee on the way. You know, I'm not a fast food eating guy. In years past, I've had real trouble with my guts, and you know, fast food was awful, man. I could eat a meal and sometimes not even get out of the restaurant, much less get down the road. So I can't eat fast food. I just stopped doing it. Okay, great. That doesn't suck, right? So I never ate breakfast, though. It was coffee, and then for lunch it was, you know, either Chinese food. You know, it's all takeout, so it's Chinese food or pizza or subs or something. And, you know, I don't take a lunch break at work. I eat on the fly, and then it, you know, dinner time rolls around. If I eat, it's 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night sometimes. And, yeah, just changing that routine, you know, into having a shake for breakfast. And then you don't really feel very hungry, so you eat something really light. You know, I would still have a sub, but I would have like 3 inches of a sub instead of a foot long. And wouldn't eat the potato chips, and I'd drink 3 or 4 bottles of water during the day. And then in the afternoon or in the evening when I get home, same thing. You know, you're not really hungry. Your body feels pretty full and pretty good. So you have a tiny plate of pasta or a half a link of sausage or, you know, a bunch of venison or something like that or rice or quinoa. And it's not so much that you're changing what you eat per se, you're just eating less of it. So you still, you know, you don't go out and have a bacon double cheeseburger and a plate of fries and a 6-pack, but the weight just falls off you. It's crazy. And your body feels better.
And so, you know, this is one thing I mentioned to Phil earlier, because we talked a little bit about your blog and the write-up you had done where you went and got tested by a doctor and changes had occurred. And I said to Phil, I said, you know, looking, you know, he says he did nothing, but looking at it is he did a lot. He just did a lot of really small stuff that added up into a decent amount of change. And it's funny how when you go from, say, maybe taking in, you know, 3,000 calories a day to maybe 2,400 calories a day, and they're crap calories, and now they're good calories. You don't actually, abs, they say, aren't made in the gym, they're made in the kitchen.
Right, right.
And you have made, you know, these little changes that people may kind of just skip over, they may not think about. They may be like, oh, I'll have this little bag of chips, right? And then they might have a little something else and a little something else. And before they know it, at the end of the day, those little things went from, you know, 100 calories to maybe 600 or 700 calories at the end of the day. Whereas you started off your day right with a meal where you hadn't before. Now you don't feel as hungry. You're not making those bad choices later on in the day. And it's just compounding as you go throughout the day. And those things add up.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the greatest way to look at it. And then, you know, it's funny when you start making the progress and, you know, like you have to buy a new belt because your belt doesn't fit anymore and your pants don't fit. They fall off you. And it's, you kind of get this good feeling and it's easy to stay on. You know, you go to a party, you know, like I went, it was one of the holiday weekends and, you know, there was a bunch of barbecue. All right, so I had some barbecue, but instead of having like a plate of ribs, I had a couple. And I didn't feel bad about it. I just wasn't hungry, and I ate smart. I still had the food I wanted, but I just didn't eat much of it. And it's so much cooler to see how your body can still survive without putting, you know, a Big Mac, large fries, and a giant Coke in your gullet. And it sounds awful, but you know, when your digestive system starts working properly and you feel like a human, you know, it's like, oh wow, that's awesome. You know, you eat a meal and your body actually, you can tell that your body is actually pulling nutrients out of it.
It's putting it to work.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you, not sound like a dick, but you were out of shape or maybe had a lot of bad habits for a long time.
Oh, yeah, dude.
What was it like when you started kind of having that epiphany that, holy shit, I might get out of this? Was it like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to people, what it feels like maybe who are on the same path as I am, or was it just like, lights on, full bore, I'm going for this?
Yeah, you know, I kind of fell into it, you know, but it was one of those, it just feels good, right? Like your attitude changes. You look down at your body and your stomach's not in the way. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
You know, your penis.
Yeah, you know, you stop pissing on your shoes in the morning, you know. Yeah, I mean, I still can't, you know, I got to kind of lean forward, but.
Bob and Off's new slogan, never piss on your shoes again.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just cool because you, like, you put on a dress shirt and it falls from your chest to your waist. There's, like, no bump of a belly in the way. And it's just those little things that make you feel good about your appearance. And I didn't feel bad about my appearance, but I knew I was really round and really overweight. And I would see myself in pictures and be like, damn, dude, you got like four chins going on there.
Just that change.
It wasn't like I had to explain it. It was just like, wow, this is really cool. It just felt good.
Do you feel like that's added to your confidence on the range?
Absolutely. You know, you put on a team shirt and it fits you right, and you're like, yep, I look like I deserve this. You know, I can shoot my bow so much better now. So much better. I feel stronger and more energetic, and I can go all day long behind the string, and doesn't faze me like it used to.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think more archers can benefit from, a little bit of less food in their mouth and a little bit more physical activity, because they'd probably make better progress than they would with buying the next new gadget, you know.
Absolutely. You know, and I don't think people realize how physical archery can be. You know, we talked about it. Remember when we were on the range? When we shot that 3D, I had my phone in my pocket and it tracked how many miles.
Yeah.
You remember how that course?
Five plus miles, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think by the end of the day, we were going to have 6 or 6.5 miles in just walking a 30 target 3D range.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 17 flights of stairs in terms of elevation. And I mean, that's a hell of a lot of walking.
Yeah.
And I just don't think people understand the demand. I mean, if you shoot a full FITA, it's like walking 2 or 3 miles in an afternoon, which isn't all that far, but it's 2 or 3 miles. And there's a lot of people that can't do it. And, you know, just to be able to compete at the higher level, you know, if half of those guys you can beat if you can just breathe deeper than they can for another 30 minutes because they're gassed.
Yep.
They can't do it. And then you see this train to hunt thing and what you guys are doing out there with that. Dude, that's the next biggest thing. I actually kind of want to start figuring out, okay, what do I really need to do for that, you know?
Chuck, I guarantee we can get you into and be competitive with a train to hunt next year. And I'm sure Phil, for all the great content you're giving him on the Championship Bow Hunting Podcast, would be more than happy to be your personal trainer for it.
Sweet. I'm in.
Yeah, we've talked with Chuck on one of the episode here earlier this week, and actually by the time this episode airs, I'm going to have Chuck on with another episode with Championship Bow Hunting. But I think that, like you said, Chuck, this type of activity, this type of event, be it train to hunt or if something else comes down the pike, you know, with something more physically involved with shooting, I think people are just going to latch onto it and not let go, because once they get the bug, it's sky's the limit.
Absolutely. For me, you know what I'm looking for me is, you know, it'll be better for my competitive career, but really one of the things I'm looking forward to is how it's going to treat me in the woods when I hunt. My big turn was a few years ago. I was rifle hunting with a buddy, and walking out of the woods, I had a bunch of chest pain, and I called him on the radio. I'm like, dude, I can't make it out. And he was an EMT, and he came down and he picked me up in the gator, And he looked at me and he's like, you got to go right to the hospital. I had jaw pain. I had chest pain, shoulder pain, everything. And, you know, I went to the hospital and they're like, well, we don't think you had a heart attack. We're pretty sure you didn't, but, you know, you're on overload, bro. And I thought to myself, Jesus, you know, I'm 45 years old and all I'm doing is I wasn't even carrying a deer. I was just trying to walk out of the damn woods. And, yeah, that was it right there. I was like, you gotta do something. And, you know, I see these guys, you know, today I would love to go on an elk hunt. There's no way I could do an elk hunt right now. You know, I'd like to do a sheep or a goat or something like that. Couldn't do it. There's no way. It would kill me on that mountain. So to realize those dreams and to do those things and make those come true, I got to earn it. You know, years ago, I was a gym rat. I think we all were when we were younger. It was easy. Now it's harder. And you just have to make a decision that, you know, life gets busy and it gets in your way, but you got to take a little time or you won't be around to enjoy it at the end. You know, my wife's in great shape. My kids are in great shape. And it's time for me to get in that same realm.
You know, Chuck, you just said something that really hit home and really got me thinking as far as, you know, the elk hunt and the goat hunt would kill you. Now, we're gonna get you on an elk hunt. That's going to be the goal. It's first train to hunt event, then elk hunt. You with me on this, Phil?
I'm with you.
I'm down, man.
I know you know some people in the TV production industry. We're going to make this happen.
I do. I know a couple people.
I know you do, and we're gonna get some. I think this, you know what, Chuck? More importantly than like young guys like Phil and I getting in shape and hunting, you're really the antithesis of what the change in hunting needs to be, as far as fitness goes.
Right, right.
You know, because I'm sure there's more people than you with a very similar story. And could use a very similar kind of kick in the pants to make something happen and know it can happen.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys like that. You know, it's funny. We look at it and we go, you know, geez, when we're younger, we have all this opportunity to do all these things and we have the strength and the endurance and the time, but we don't have the money, right? So we start our careers and we bank a lot of money. And now it's like, yes, I can afford to go on a $10,000 hunt to chase caribou down. Great. You can afford it, but you can't go cause you'll die. Okay. Well, what's the frickin' point then? So now that you can afford it and enjoy it, maybe you should get to the point where you can, you know, and not be that guy who, you know, is one of those high paying hunters who just shows up and is like, yeah, send a guide up the mountain and chase the elk to me. No, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm going with you, man.
Yeah, we can definitely start planning for that, because this is actually the perfect time. If we set those goals and we get that lined out, you know, we can be elk hunting here in 13 months. And, You would definitely be ready to go, you know, with your jump start you've had already, with, you know, the better diet and motivation. I think that, you know, train to hunt. I think there might be one going up towards Pennsylvania next year. Is that
possibly Pennsylvania? He's talked about, and if he said we could get the people upstate New York, if that's something you'd be interested in, Chuck.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I do both. I think we can make both events happen. So I think the people are here in the Northeast. I think the desire is here in the Northeast. We just need to get the word out, get the people out, you know, make it happen on the ground with the troops. And we can have two train hunt events possibly here in the Northeast next year. And I think we could have some very competitive field. And not only that, but not only get Chuck into competition ready shape to where I think you'd be in the Masters at that point and make you a contender to take home the Masters gold at an event, but also it would be great if we could maybe get my first Western hunt. And I don't know if it'd be your first Western hunt as well, But maybe
it would be.
Maybe we can get both of our first Western hunts, backpack style hunts, where it's a tough outback there hunt with, you know, maybe Phil would be kind enough to come with the two of us, you know, and we can work something out there to make that happen as well.
Yeah, that's the dream for me, is either a backpack hunt or a horse hunt, you know.
We got to go backpack. We're going backpack.
Yeah. Just walk in and camp out.
Exactly. Awesome. Carry in, carry out, right, Phil?
I think we can make this happen. So,
the thing with Train to Hunt, you know, hopefully those guys or you guys, the biggest problem with guys like me is we don't know where to start. That's it. That's our biggest question. We know we need to start. We just don't know where to start. And, you know, hopefully there's some direction there that says, look, you know, just some simple things.
Maybe a guinea pig, brother.
That's all right. I can do it.
Well,
I can do it.
I think that, you know, that's a good place to cap this one off. I think, you know, those are some great things to work on, and maybe we can put heads together with Kenton as far as, you know, a great starting point or a landing spot to get new competitors to Train to Hunt going. And with that, you know, it's mind body, it's everything. But you know, Chuck, you're a big supporter of Mountain Ops. Let's go ahead and throw a shout out to Mountain Ops with our promo code that they've extended to us. And you know, a great testimonial by Chuck there. Just, you know, it works, and you put the time in, and you pay attention to what you're putting in your body, and it helps. So now it's time to kick the physical side a little bit more in gear. But Will, what do we got from Mountain Ops?
That's right, Chuck. If you are not aware, you can enter the promo code N as in Nancy, B as in Bart, and H as in Hubert, 20 at the checkout for your next order, and you will get 20% off. On top of that, I believe we have a giveaway of some sort, don't we, Phil?
We do, and it's either
Yeti, I think, right? Or an Enduro.
A bottle of Yeti, a bottle of Enduro, or Blaze. We'll go ahead and give it winner's choice, but.
But here's what we need from you out there in the podcast listener world is this is going to be an Instagram competition, because personally I prefer Instagram to the other social media sites. And what we would like you to do is post a picture on Instagram of you either preparing for hunting or a train to hunt event, whatever you do for your prep, you know, something either shooting your bow or working out, whatever. And then just at mention the Natural Born Hunter account and at mention Mountain Ops in the same post. And we will pick a winner from that, and they will receive their choice of what, Phil?
Either a bottle of Yeti, Enduro, or Blaze. So we'll let them choose.
That's
I'm
right.
A big fan of all. Big fan of all of those.
There you go. You heard it from the man himself, making it happen. Real world, real results. So that's all you got to do is either you can get 20% off your purchase by using the promo code NBH20 at checkout, or you can even win a little free something for yourself by posting on Instagram and at mentioning Natural Born Hunter and Mountain Ops in the post.
So, hey, Chuck, we appreciate you coming on, and like I said, by the time this one airs, we're actually going to have another one on the Championship Bow Hunting podcast side with Chuck Cooley talking about lenses and some other details as far as target shooting more than anything. But
looking forward to that.
We appreciate you spending time with us tonight, and again, you know, on the other podcast, but. Looking forward to more conversations, and even just casual conversations. Will and I we recorded a podcast before this one where it was just kind of catching up on a few things, and I think Chuck's going to be a pretty good guy to have on one of those next time. Will, what do you think?
Oh, man, I honestly, this has been – I thought of two things. There's a lot of guys we got to get on again. We're going to have to do an open forum. podcast like this again. There's so many things I was thinking about asking Chuck that, you know, you do the technical side with him. You can do the fitness side. You know, there's so many things you can talk to Chuck about. We're going to have to do a full-length episode, I think, with him. And, you know, do another one of these where we get all the guys on again, because it's been a blast.
Anytime you want, you just let me know, and we'll get together and we'll chat. If you have questions or anything, make sure you reach out to the guys on Natural Born Hunter. And I know you guys are really, really responsive on that, and also with the championship bow hunting. And if you get a chance, follow me on Facebook, Chuck Cooley Archer. Also on Twitter, Chuck Cooley. And I'll try to share back and forth with you guys and get this out to as many people as we can.
Chuck, are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram, Chuck Cooley. Pretty much everything is Chuck Cooley. I was smart enough to do that early on to make everything the same. So Instagram is Chuck Cooley. Facebook is Chuck Cooley Archer. Twitter is Chuck Cooley. Those are the three big ones.
All right, there you go. You got anything?
So,
no, man, I just appreciate everybody that came on tonight, and, you know, look forward to bringing you guys more episodes. Real quick, Will, your big day's here in a couple days, man.
Yep.
Good luck. Congrats.
Thank you.
What do you got going on?
I get married on Saturday.
Look at you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the ladies are going to be brokenhearted.
Oh, you know.
All but one.
That's right. That's right. I'm a one-woman kind of man.
That's so awesome, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with that being said, hey, Will, I hope you enjoy the time away from work. Enjoy your beautiful wife and getting that your new life started. But, yeah, man, I guess that's all I got to say. Just enjoy. I wish we could be up there with you guys, but we want to hear stories when you get back. And
not all of them.
Well, that's right. You know, a few of them. But anyway, I think I'm good, man. We'll talk to Chuck. I'm going to talk to Chuck here in a couple of days, and we'll talk to you probably when you get back. I'll probably talk to you sooner, but looking forward to hearing the stories.
All right, everybody. You heard the man. This has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Don't forget your coupon code NBH20. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat. Later.